News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. In 1917, the Russian Revolution was unleashed. Finally, it engulfed Mother Russia and stained half a continent red. But whatever changes it wrought, it changed little in the Russian soul itself. The people under the star were very like the people today. As Gogol himself said, all the civil servants can talk about is their government office. Everything seems to have been crushed under a great weight. Everyone is drowned by the trivial, meaningless labors at which he must spend his useless life. This is a story of that old Russia.
And you, an officer of the law, are trying to tell me this specter of a man tried to snatch the coat off your back?
That's how it seemed, General. You see, just at that moment, I was taking a pinch of snuff, in the middle of it, I had to sneeze. And after I did, he was gone. He just up and disappeared.
Our mystery drama, The Overcoat, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Hans Conried. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by General Electric Citizen Band Radios. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone but the parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
They were promised interstate highways, a garage to call their own. So they came to our shores, the Datsuns, Toyotas, VWs, and MGs, all looking for the American dream. But when they need new mufflers or shocks, the treatment they get, even from the people who sell them, can often turn into a nightmare.
Yeah, I know you bought it here, but the nearest muffler for your car is in Einhofen. Getting it here will take a month or so. It may take a while to work you in. But if you leave it, we'll get to it, sooner or later.
At Midas, we'll get to it sooner. We install mufflers and shocks on just about every kind of foreign car. You don't need an appointment, and you're usually in and out in half an hour. So, foreign car owners, come to Midas. We'll do more than give you promises. We'll give you service.
Today it is called Leningrad. Then it was known as St. Petersburg, a city that Pushkin called a graveyard of dreams, that Gogol described as an amazingly quiet place. The people seem more dead than alive. And that obsessed all later Russian writers with its intangibility, its mists, and its white nights. A mystifying and mysterious city where the individual loses all identity. And in this city lived, or should we say existed, a man whose name... No. Let his story be told by the people who knew him.
You never heard of Akaky Akakievich? Then you don't know Petersburg. But then, of course, even if you had heard of him, you didn't know him, as I did. He boarded with me, how many, 20 years? Something like that. Hard to remember. He was shortish, one would say, rather pockmarked and with reddish hair. He had a small, bald patch in front and wrinkles on his cheeks. But he always paid promptly, even if all he had was the garret room.
Good evening, Madam Bushko.
Oh, good evening, Counselor. It is cold out?
Oh, yes, I think. I didn't notice. Oh,
your coat needs mending.
Where?
There's a tear under the arm, big enough to stick your head through.
Oh, so there is. I must do something about that.
Look, I have some thread. I can patch it for you.
Yeah, so much trouble. And I have, as you see, important work to do.
I see by all your papers. You must watch your health. Look, I have some tea in the samovar. You could have a glass while you wait for me to fix that rent.
Rent? Oh, that reminds me. Today I have it for you.
Oh, so? Well, come in a moment. I'll give you a receipt.
Oh, I wouldn't want to take advantage of your hospitality. The receipt I could get in the morning.
And your coat?
Well, I could take it to Petrovich the tailor.
Oh, a robber. Yeah. One small favor I couldn't do for you. Yeah, once.
I have no way of returning it.
Did I ask? Come in, then, and take off your coat. I look at him as I sew this old bunch of rags he calls a coat, and I wonder. He has taken the tea, but he is in an agony of embarrassment because I've taken him out of his world. You're not drinking your tea.
Oh, yes. Well, it was just a little hot.
Oh, and maybe not enough sugar.
Oh, yes, enough. More than enough. I'm not used to sugar.
As you will. Well, you always bring so much work home.
Well, there's always so much to be done.
Oh. What is it you do at the department?
I copy.
Oh? Copy what?
Why, all kinds of documents.
Such as?
I wouldn't have the faintest notion. There isn't time to read them, you see.
Oh, I see. You are from the Ukraine, Counselor?
Yes.
Basmashkin. That's why I asked.
Well, it means, well, a bashmaki is a shoe.
I know.
You are not from the Ukraine?
No, from Georgia.
Oh.
Was your father a shoemaker?
Oh, no. Why?
Because of your name.
Oh, no, that was because my father and my grandfather went around in boots, and they had them soled just 3 times a year.
But you don't have boots.
Oh, no, I have shoes. But then everyone calls me Akaky Akievich.
Yes, I know.
You're thinking that is a strange name.
I didn't say so.
Well, some people even say far-fetched, but really I couldn't have been called anything else. You see, here is how it was, if you want to hear.
Oh, I might as well. I haven't finished your coat yet.
Very well. You see, I was born on March the 22nd at night, if my memory serves me right.
That would be more up to your mother's memory, perhaps.
You could be right. She was the wife of a civil servant, you see.
Ah.
That is, my father was in the civil service.
I should think so.
My mother was offered a choice of 3 names. Mokya, Sosia, or Khodosat, after the martyr. Oh, no, she thought to herself, such awful names they are going in for these days. We'd better call him after his father. He was an Akaky, so let his son be an Akaky as well. Akaky Akakievich. That's how it came about.
Oh, an amazing story. And finish just at the moment your coat is. But you know what, Akaky Akakievich? For that's what I must make bold to call you now. It won't do. It just won't do.
My name?
No, your coat. I've pulled it together, but it's not going to hold together for long. With winter coming on, you're going to have to get a new one. He walked out, shaking his head and looking at his coat vaguely. I wondered if he could see that around the back and over the shoulders, the material was so worn that it was as thin as cheesecloth. Probably not. And he had forgotten to drink his tea. I could see him now lighting his candle and sitting down to gulp some cabbage soup, some beef and onions, tasting nothing. Just as he walked on the street without ever seeing anything. Why did I waste time thinking about him? Because a woman could see how lost he was, and I was sorry for him. He needed a coat, which he would never buy himself. Of course, I didn't know then it was an office joke.
Good morning, Your Excellency, Mr. Podochin.
Good morning, Ivan Ivanovich.
Pray allow me to open your office door for you, Excellency.
In a minute. What is that thing that always hangs there?
It hangs where?
On the coat tree.
Oh, that. That's Akaki Akakievich's dressing gown.
I fail to see what's so funny. Is what?
Well, it's just a little joke here in the office, sir, because of the way it looks. Actually, it's his overcoat.
That moth-eaten bunch of rags. Where is Akakievich?
Well, he's at the... Well, you know, Excellency, he had to leave the room.
Why, that thing is an eyesore. We'll have to do something about it. Well, back to work. And ask Akakievich to step in and see me when he returns. Come in.
You sent for me, Your Excellency, Mr. Podochin, sir.
Yes. Well, close the door, man.
Yes, sir.
And come over here and sit down.
Oh, I couldn't. I wouldn't feel right. I just stand, Your Excellency.
Well, suit yourself. It's, it's about, how long have you worked here at the department, Akakievich?
Oh, dear me, no. I don't think I quite know. Before you took over, Excellency.
You've been here that long?
Oh, yes.
That's strange. I never quite noticed you.
Oh, I was here with Director Suslov and Director Korvalyov and...
Good heavens, you must have been here at least 20 years.
Oh, I suppose that would be it, Excellency. Give or take a year, one or the other.
And your title is?
I'm a titular counselor, Excellency.
Clerk.
That's another way of saying it.
Your salary?
400 rubles.
A year?
To be precise, per annum.
Good heavens. What do you do?
I copy, sir.
Copy?
Copy.
Is that all?
Yes, Excellency.
Well, perhaps we can find you something a little more, more interesting and challenging.
Oh, please don't, Excellency.
You are not interested in advancement?
Oh, it isn't that. It's just that...
Come on, man. Spit it out.
I'm not happy that way.
Just copying makes you happy.
Oh, yes, Excellency. I love my work. It's my whole life. I take things home, extra things from the office to copy. And if there isn't enough work, then often I just copy for my own pleasure. Especially if it's something addressed to someone newly appointed or important personage.
I never heard anything like this in my life. And where do you find these precious documents to important personages?
Oh, dear, anywhere at all. The newspaper, an old book, it doesn't matter. Would that be all, Excellency?
Huh? Oh, yes. That's all. It's certainly all about all I can take for one day.
Thank you, Excellency.
Oh, by the way, about your dressing gown.
My dressing?
Well, I mean that garment hanging out there that pretends to be a coat. Something will simply have to be done about it. I mean, it's falling apart. One can see through it. I can't have it hanging there. Gives the place a bad tone. Doesn't speak well for the department.
Yes, Excellency. I was thinking of taking it to the tailor for repairing.
Repairing? If he sticks a needle into it, it'll dissolve into dust. What you want is a new one. Yes, that's it. Treat yourself to a present. Akakievich, you get yourself a new coat.
What did the old crab want, Akaki?
He wants me to get a new coat.
Is that all? Fine. I think it's a good idea.
But I can't afford it.
Oh, nonsense. Anyone can afford a new coat. Anyway, you haven't any choice.
What do you mean?
You don't want to get the sack, do you?
find yourself without a job?
Oh, he wouldn't do that. Not His Excellency. Not the prince of a man like His Excellency. I'll have Petrovich the tailor. He'll fix it like new.
You better face the truth, Akakievich. Better get a new coat, or you're out.
No. I've been here so long. It's my life. Oh, he wouldn't. He knows I work hard. He's a kind man.
Kind? You could sit here till your whole behind was one big bunion, and all you'd get in reward for your labors would be a badge in your buttonhole. I tell you, you'd better get that coat.
I don't have the money.
Better get it. Get it from your 70-year-old landlady for a wedding gift. She's rich.
What wedding gift?
Why, isn't she going to marry you? We were all sure she was sweet on you.
Why do you torment me so? Leave me alone. I'm your brother.
You won't be long if you don't get that overcoat. Get it.
Poor, inarticulate, incomplete Akaki. A natural butt for jokes. A mouse of a man, too small and harmless to twit and taunt, and yet by that very token, a ready prey to feed the precarious security of other small men. The coat was a joke, or was it? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
You probably know where to buy a standard 60-watt bulb, but if the fluorescent tube in your bathroom burned out, would you know where to go to get a replacement? Just go to your True Value hardware store. Hi, Pat Summerall. You'll find a large selection of General Electric bulbs, including fluorescent tubes, floodlights, spotlights, colored bulbs, and decorative styles, plus much more. All in a wide variety of sizes. Plus, your True Value hardware store has the new Bright Stick from General Electric. It's a 25-inch fluorescent lighting unit that comes complete and ready to install. You don't need a fixture or special wiring. And it's lightweight, so you can hang it almost anywhere you need more light. So whether you need a standard 60-watt bulb, the new Bright Stick, or a replacement for the fluorescent tube in the bathroom, go to your complete and convenient General Electric light bulb source, your participating True Value hardware store. True Value. Remember, that's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. And by the way, tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. Ready with the answers and advice given by professionals in helping thousands just like you, but each with different individual needs. Northwest Federal's professionals can show you, too, the best way to save for a new home, college education, or retirement. Northwest Federal's counselors can explain all the savings plans and help you set up a savings program to meet your special needs. Home loan specialists can tailor a home loan plan to help make your dreams a reality. Bring your needs to any of five convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. If you think your needs are special, so does Northwest Federal Savings. All the time. Because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
The chief clerk in the bureau where Akaki worked didn't think of himself as an unkind man. All he loved was a good joke. And since Akaki was a living joke, he was fair game, wasn't he? Except that today, well, the whole business of the coat had gone maybe too far. It upset Ivan's dinner enough to have him resolve that he wouldn't wait till the next day to reassure Akaki that his job didn't actually depend on him getting a new coat he couldn't afford. He would go to Akaki's lodgings that same night.
Yes? Good evening. You are Mrs. Bushko, the landlady?
Yes, but we have no rooms, all filled up.
Your pardon, I'm not looking for rooms. I am Ivan Ivanovich Anenkov, Akakievich superior at the bureau.
Oh, it is I who must ask your pardon, Excellency. Oh, please enter.
Oh, thank you. But not Excellency, just counselor.
Oh, well, as you prefer, of course. You wished to see Mr. Basmachkin? Who? Akaki Akakievich.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I never knew his surname. Could you direct me to his quarters?
Oh, he is not in.
Devil, you say. I thought he seldom went abroad.
That is God's truth, but tonight was special, you see.
Aha. Then you know where he's gone.
Of course, to Petrovich the tailor.
Oh, dear. Would you know why?
Well, I'm not one to gossip, but yes, I think he has gone about his overcoat.
To Petrovich?
If you need a new garment, why not?
I suppose, but only if you catch him on church holiday when he's nearly human from drinking corn brandy. Is today a church holiday by chance?
No, it is not.
So much the worse for Akaki. To face that old one-eyed devil sitting like a pasha cross-legged on his table.
We must offer a prayer, for certainly Akaki cannot afford a new coat.
Well, then why has he gone to the tailor?
To get the old one fixed, one would suppose.
Oh, of course.
What Akaki really needs is a new coat.
Yes.
Excuse me, Mrs. Petrovich was busy in the kitchen, so I just walked in.
Well, you just walked into my workroom. Let's have what you want, quick.
It was my overcoat.
What overcoat?
This one here.
That's an overcoat.
Oh, dusty, perhaps, but quite.
Let me see it.
I was hoping most of it is still... it seems to me it could be just a small job.
No.
No?
It can't be mended. If I can't, nobody can. It's a mess.
Yeah, but I thought perhaps some patches.
I have patches, plenty of them, but I can't sew them together. The coat is rotten. Touch a needle to it and it falls apart into pieces already.
But the pieces, couldn't you just patch them up again?
No. Too far gone. Only one answer for you.
What?
You must have a new one.
Well, if I had a new one, how would I mean...
How much would it cost?
Yes.
You can reckon on 350-ruble notes or more.
150 rubles for an overcoat?
Yes, and then it wouldn't be too much to write home about. It should have a fur collar, Martin, and a silk-lined hood, but then we are talking about 200 or more. Yeah,
but if my old one could just be repaired...
Don't waste time talking about it. Forget it. You must have a new one.
I can't afford a new coat.
Somehow you can. In Petersburg, during the white, cold season, the days and nights, everyone must. Or else they die. Don't you have any savings?
Just my pig bank.
Your what?
It's a habit, you see. For every ruble I spend, I have this little bank with a slit in the back, and into it I put a half kopeck. I've been doing it most of my life.
It must be a very heavy bank and big.
No. Every 6 months, I pull the cork and change the kopecks to silver to put away in my sock. It adds up over the years.
To how much?
Oh, to nothing like the price you ask.
Well, how much?
Oh, yeah, about 40 rubles. Couldn't you make me one for 40 rubles?
Are you out of your mind? Am I to starve, too? I told you the price.
Yeah, but all those rubles,
Supposing what?
Supposing, Mr. Petrovich, I was to give you the 40 rubles I've saved so that we could buy the cloth, and then I was to pay you the rest as soon as I had the money.
What are you saying? How could I do such a thing? And at the rate you save, how could I wait for the rest of my money?
Oh, but I would change my habit to save, you see.
Oh.
I could cut down on my spending. No tea in the evening, do without a candle. I could do my copying in my landlady's room. I'm sure she'd let me. I could walk over the cobblestones on tiptoe to save my shoes. Watch how much laundry. I mean, after I came home, I could take off everything and just wear my dressing robe.
Why?
Why, if I don't wear my underclothing, it will last longer. I don't even have to eat every night. I could pay you off the rest of the year, maybe even 6 months, depending on my bonus.
Are you mad? What am I to do in the meanwhile? Starve?
No. That would be fair. I tell you what, if you can make the coat for me for, say, 80 rubles, I will give you the 40 and my bonus. And if that isn't enough, my next salary payments. I will starve if I have to. Only, I must have my overcoat.
Think about it. But let me tell you one thing.
Yes?
I won't consider it when you come back unless you bring me without my wife seeing you a glass of corn brandy.
You sent for me, Excellency?
Huh? Oh, yes, Ivanovich, come in.
Yes, Excellency.
And shut the door.
Of course.
The holidays are not so far away. We must prepare the bonus list. Sit down.
Such a pleasure, Excellency.
To sit down?
No, sir. I was thinking of the list.
Oh, that, yes, well. It has not been the best of years. There will be some disappointments, no doubt.
Not anyone to let go, Excellency?
Oh, don't be silly, Ivanovich. No one in a government job is ever let go. Unless, of course, the government changes, which doesn't seem likely. Still, some years are, forgetting that for the moment. By the way, what on earth has come over that wretched little Akakievich the last few days? I've passed his desk on recent mornings, and, well, I'm quite sure he never did it before, but he's humming.
Well, yes, that's because, you see, he's happy.
Happy? What's he got to be happy about?
Why, his overcoat.
That dish rag. It's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. That dressing gown, that miserable floor mop. It depresses me. I can't stand to look at it hanging there.
You won't have to. He is having it altered by a tailor.
Ah, yes. Well, that's a relief. I can't have those rags hanging here during the holidays. He'd better fix it by then or winter will be over.
Yes, sir.
That's not too much to hope, is it?
No, Excellency, if he can afford to pay for it. Petrovich, the tailor, that one-eyed bandit, gives no credit. And without the bonus, Your Excellency will pardon me, but I know Akaki is counting on that.
The bonus, yes. We shall see. But it'll be no more than last year, mind you. No more. And besides, one must wait for the holidays for that.
If I know Petrovich, Excellency, we'll also have to wait for the coat for that.
Who's that? Oh, you are cocky again.
I just want to see how the overcoat is coming along.
Coming along? How could it come along? Have you brought me more money?
Oh, no, Mr. Petrovich. I've given you all I had to buy the cloth and the lining. You said...
I know what I said. And I have the cloth here, and it is cut, and the lining the best calico. That is paid for. But where is the money to pay for the stitching and the sewing and the quilting?
Well, if you could just get it ready so when my bonus comes along.
No credit. Supposing the bonus doesn't come to
you. Oh, it will. It has to. But if you must, here, I will pay you all I have on account. If you'll only... Well, please, I want my code.
No cash, no code.
Oh, I forgot.
What?
I have something for you. A glass of corn brandy, you ask.
Why didn't you say sooner, man? Give it here. Ah, good. And my wife didn't see you bring it.
Oh, no. I waited till she wasn't looking. Nobody notices me much anyway.
better.
Would you continue? I mean, would you consider, you know... To sew. I know it is much to ask if only...
Come and get it out. I haven't all day.
Would you continue to sew if I brought you some corn brandy each time I came? Say, 3 times a week, supposedly for a fitting, until I could pay you the whole price?
Akakievich. It's the first sensible thing I ever heard you say. Perhaps I am foolish, but a man can be a dolt and still be honest. Once in my life I could trust someone, no?
The brandy is warm in my belly. Why not? What is one coat? He will have to pay to get it. He has the money. All men are liars. And after all, what a fuss about one coat. You would think his life depended on it.
A foreboding statement. If Petrovich the tailor only knew it, as if his life depended on it. For you can see, perhaps it does. The coat has become Akaki, and Akaki the coat. In his preoccupation, it has become his life. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
Do I, Howard Cosell, possess a truly encyclopedic mentality? No, on the subject of CB radio, I admit profound ignorance. However, many people share this lamentable condition, so for everyone, I question General Electric. Their answers made it obvious why GE is expert in CB. Listen to the words of Andy Kynes, GE product designer.
Andy, do you think only in technical terms, or do you consider the fellow who'll be using your CB?
No, Howard, we never lose sight of him. He's why we do everything we can to make our channel numbers extra legible, why we position our controls so they're easily reached. He's why GE mics are designed for either hand. We even backlight our meters to increase readability.
Powerful arguments for GE, Andy.
The human factor in engineering. Another reason to buy GE CB. This is Howard Cosell saying GE. That's more than you can say about any other CB.
This is WBBM Chicago. And now here's a message from Bryant Air Conditioning. Believe it or not, summer is on its way. Some of the flowers will come blooming in April, believe it or not, and you'll be walking around without a heavy coat. That may not seem uncomfortable after the cold, cold weather, but it can be just as unpleasant with the hot, muggy, humid weather that may come this summer. What to do about it? Look into buying a new Bryant QuietLine central air conditioning system. Right now is the right time to buy Bryant. So call AirRight in Addison at 627-9633. He's got the right price. That's Bryant Air Conditioning, the unit that could save you more money because it has the lowest EER rating. In fact, it could possibly save you enough money to pay for your Bryant QuietLine Deluxe Air Conditioning System in 5 years. Believe it or not. So call AirRight in Addison at 627-9633. That's AirRight at 627-9633.
Months now, Akaki has subsisted almost literally on peasant bread and water. His samovar simmers no more. Meat is a dream of the past, and only an occasional bowl of cabbage soup gives him energy to continue. The only force that keeps him going is his dream of the overcoat, which is slowly taking shape on the table of Petrovich the tailor. Akaki is deeply in debt to his landlady, which necessitates his sneaking in and out of the house till this time he's caught.
Oh, there you are. I've been trying to catch you for weeks, sneaking in and out.
If it's about the rent.
Oh, about the rent, perhaps, but not altogether.
I'm only waiting for the bonus.
All right, the rent let us put aside. 20 years you paid me steady every month. Is a person to have no concern for another person. Sometimes we must take things on trust.
Madame Bushko, please believe me. Somehow I will catch up.
Oh, so you will catch up, maybe. I wouldn't drop dead. What worries me more, you could.
Excuse me?
Now, don't try to fool your landlady. You don't eat anymore.
Oh, that's by choice. For my health. For my health. Some business concern. And as to the rent, you need have no worries.
Oh, the rent I worry about. A woman, widowed, all alone. Why not? But it is not that. It's you, Akaki. Come. I will make you a good meal and we'll talk.
Oh, no, not tonight, Madame Bushko. I'm due at Petrovich the tailor. The overcoat. I have the money, Petrovich.
The money. And the brandy.
Oh, yes, here.
Then we can really celebrate. And I will bring you the coat first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Only the collar is left to finish.
Could it be Martin?
Let us not reach too far, Akaki, at these prices. But I have something no one will ever know from the real thing. See? Cat fur.
Cat fur? Cat fur? Oh, he feels so soft, so rich.
You shall have the coat complete with the collar first thing tomorrow.
Well, what is going on here? What is all the excitement? Back to work!
Yes, Excellency. We're sorry if we disturbed you.
It's Akaki Akakievich.
Oh, what about him?
For once in the year, we're all rich. And Akaki has used his bonus to throw away the old dressing gown and have himself made a new overcoat.
Oh, you, Akakievich. Let me see.
Is it not a work of art, Excellency? Mm. See, here, the seams, and the collar. What fur would you guess? And the lining, quilted.
All this fuss about an overcoat? What kind of a government bureau is this that it can waste its time in trifles? It's very nice, Akakievich. And don't let me ever see that old one. As for the rest of you, back to the important work that must be done.
Important work? That is to laugh.
Why? Isn't that what we do?
Processing papers? Duplicating what 6 to 10 other clerks do just as well? It's a living. What else? The only thing that makes it bearable are what few occasions we have for a holiday. And now, we have occasion for another.
Oh, but we just had one.
Akaki's holiday. You finally got your coat. Aren't you going to give a party because of that?
A party? But you...
Don't you think he should?
Yeah, sure.
But I don't have any money left. Everything I had went for this.
Well, then I shall give the party. Everyone to my house tonight to celebrate Akaki and his new coat. Come, Akaki. You must join the rest of us.
Oh, I'm not much for dancing.
Well, then you can drink.
I'm not much for drinking. Makes me dizzy.
Oh, tonight you should be dizzy. You drink the vodka here.
Oh, I'm afraid to. It's such a long way home.
Yeah, will you have your overcoat to keep you warm? Must you cradle it in your lap as if someone was going to take it from you?
I was just feeling the fur. Cat fur. Let your hands see how smooth.
You let your throat feel how smooth is this vodka. Drink up and join the rest of us. Hey, let's drink to Akaki Akakievich and his coat with a soft fur collar.
It was the greatest moment of my life. But they shouldn't have let me drink so much. Or I shouldn't have, because now I'm stumbling through the white mist of a Petersburg night. It is cold, numbing cold. But inside my overcoat, I'm warm for the first time in my life. Through the drifting snow, I can see someone now. And also for the first time in my life, I am at peace with my fellow man. I can summon up enough resolve to ask this person where I am. Except that I misjudge a little and bump into him.
All right, cousin. Isn't the pavement wide enough without you having to crawl up my nose?
I'm sorry. I didn't see you were taking snow.
What else to keep the nose freezing against the cold?
Best thing is an overcoat. Good night, kind sir.
Hold a minute. An overcoat, you said.
Did I? Just a manner of speaking, expression.
Oh, but cousin, I understand. That's a handsome overcoat you're wearing.
You like it?
More and more since we're alone. You'd be surprised how much, for it is about to become what I see.
Yes, what?
My overcoat. Now give it to me.
Oh,
heaven preserve us. What is amiss at this time of night?
I've been robbed. Oh. He took my overcoat. Oh,
come in first. Come in by my fire and talk. Now, what happened?
Well, a man came out of the Petersburg mist and he tore my overcoat, my lovely overcoat, my beautiful overcoat from my shoulder. Help! Help!
Shh. No need to cry for help. Now, who was the man?
I don't know.
Then we must find out.
How?
You must go to the police.
The police? What attention would they give to me? Just a lowly clerk. They would make a deposition and that would be it.
If you just went into the station. But that is no way to do it.
Well, how else?
Don't waste your time below. You must go to an important person.
An important person? But who?
A police inspector, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
But not any police inspector.
Yes, of course. The district one.
No. The Inspector General. The most important personage is always the answer, whether you can reach him or not. And if you do, remember, he is your servant.
The Inspector General? He's my servant?
What is a government for?
I don't know.
Oh, it has to be for something. All I know is, when you have to deal with it, never start from the bottom. Start from the top.
This trivial affair should never have come to an important personage like me. But in spite of all, somehow, this hysterical minor servant had broken through and was all over me.
He ripped my coat off me, stole my coat, my overcoat.
What has that to do with me?
I must have it back, all my life savings, still some debts. How is it all to be taken care of?
There are channels through which you
go. I have no time for channels. I'm freezing to death.
May I suggest, if you go to the right department,
What department is for freezing to death and for losing everything you ever had? I want justice. I want my overcoat.
Your overcoat is one thing. Justice is something else. I can't do anything immediately about your overcoat, but I can set machinery in motion.
Will it get me back my overcoat?
I don't know. All I can counsel is patience, and I really don't have time to spend with this nonsense. What were you doing out so late on the streets?
I was coming home from a friend's a party.
Aha. Drunk, no doubt? Well, that in itself is not a crime, but...
No, please listen to me. You don't understand. For months, I starved myself to buy this overcoat, and the very first day I wore it was stolen from me.
By your carelessness in being abroad so late.
Because it was a party.
We are wasting time. Now let me suggest the proper channels. First, you must make out a report, longhand, in triplicate, to be presented to the proper...
Looking back on it, I suppose we were all to blame somewhere. Oh, Akaki came back for a few days to the bureau wearing the old dressing gown in the dead of winter, feverish, refusing to talk to anyone. Well, this is life. We had our own problems and no time for his. Till suddenly, he didn't show up for 3 days. And I had to go around to his lodgings to check on him. I got there in the nick of time. That is, if I wanted to catch him still alive.
Oh, I'm glad you came, Excellency.
Counselor.
I've sent for the priest. I think he's in extremis.
Not that bad.
You know our Petersburg. Without protection this time of year, the cold gets in the lungs and... Well, there it is. He is dying. You wish to go in and see him?
Oh, thank you, madame. I will. Akaki?
Who's there? Who's there?
Ivan Ivanovich. Come to see you.
Then I'm dying.
No!
If anyone comes to see me, away from the office, I am dying.
Now, Akaki...
It doesn't matter. But where? Where is my overcoat?
Your coat? Well, now as to that, I don't know.
Until I find it, I will never... Never.
Never what?
Die. Never, never die.
They left it all to me, of course, the men, after he died. No one cared all that much. I have to admit, not even myself. He was there for a while, and suddenly he was gone. So many people in the world like that. But not Akaki, not so easily. For most of us, it was only a note in the paper, but for the important personage, it meant a good deal more.
Why, the devil you say, by the Klinken Bridge, ripped the overcoat off the man and faded away into the mist, eh? Well, don't worry, we shall take steps. And you, an officer of the law, are trying to tell me this specter tried to snatch the coat off your back?
Well, that's how it seemed, General.
But you fought him back?
In a manner of speaking, you might say.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, he caught me in the cold and the mist and all. And you see, just at that moment, I was taking a pinch of snuff and... In the middle of it, I had to sneeze. And after I did, he was gone. Like I'd blown him clear into the Neva River. He just up and disappeared.
Well, I do wish I could say that that had been the last of Akaki Akakievich. But between you and me, I can't. I have a sweet little bundle the other side of town. Karolina Ivanovna, who holds my hand and makes me feel young again. But I will never go near Karolina again. Just last night, crossing the Obukhov Bridge, he came at me out of the mist, and before I knew it...
My overcoat! My overcoat! Since you would not find it... I found it for myself.
It was over an hour and a half before I got home to bed, frozen stiff. And for almost a week, I have stayed there, sweating out the pneumonia it brought on me. And the memory of that ghost. Yes, but I must say, he seems to be satisfied. My coat evidently fitted. For we have heard no more, any of us, from the ghost of Akaki Akakievich.
Oh, there are still stories. Legends die hard. That Akaki roams the streets of St. Petersburg, snatching at people's coats to keep him warm through the wet and misty winter. But gradually they died out. Not surprising. The city became Petrograd, and then Leningrad. Different times, different cultures. And although it is still possible to freeze to death in Leningrad, they are not the same people for Akaki to haunt. So maybe he does rest in peace. I shall be back shortly.
Now you can go anywhere in America for only $50 or less. Anywhere, by the most direct route, for only $50. Greyhound's fantastic one-way bargain fare can take you coast to coast, border to border, anywhere out of state Greyhound goes. You'll ride smooth and easy, and you can stop over free. And here's something else. You can also take a child under 12 along with you, free. Greyhound's $50 fare is good for 60 days or until June 15th, whichever comes first. Greyhound's $50 fare. Tell them that's the ticket, Pearl.
When you want to take a trip, honey, why fly? Greyhound will save you more. My, my, say hello to a goodbye. Go Greyhound.
And use Bank AmeriCard or MasterCard.
It is
is an interesting footnote that the overcoat, within our time, was taken up by the Soviets as the fountainhead of social sympathetic writing. I prefer to think of it as a little more universal than that. Whatever status symbols we achieve through things are transitory. Whatever we gain in life, or for that matter in death, lasts only in proportion to whatever we have to give, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. Our cast included Hans Conried, Bryna Rayburn, Ian Martin, Bob Dryden, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
The drink tastes awful, but I try to finish it. Thoughts of Helen dart in and out of my brain, little flashes of piercing light gone before I can identify them. Helen's face when I met her. So young, just 18. Helen's face twisted with pain later on. I hear her screaming at me and me screaming back. But that was all a long time ago. And now I'm sitting in this bar with this drink. Well, I'm not much good with people these days.
Want me to leave you alone?
No. I appreciate... Give me another drink, will you?
You sure about that?
Yeah, I think so.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Special time in our South Pacific. It lasts from April through September. We call it the quiet season. Instead of the hassles and high prices of Europe, you'll find the uncrowded magic of Fiji, Tahiti, Australia, and New Zealand. Ask your travel agent about our special quiet season tours.
Air New Zealand.
News. There appears to be a serious escalation of the long guerrilla war in Thailand. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Government officials say communist insurgents ambushed a convoy of civilian vehicles in northern Thailand using automatic weapons to kill 29 villagers and wound 15 others. It was the bloodiest incident of its kind in the 12-year-old insurgent war in Thailand. Further south, within 120 miles of Bangkok, the capital, communist guerrillas earlier attacked a training area for Thai paratroopers, killing 4 soldiers. It was the closest attack to the Thai capital in memory. Observers feel the bold assault shows the insurgents have become much more aggressive under the new government, which is about 5 months old. More news in a moment.
Hello, food fans. Denny Brackett here with a hint about tomorrow's tasty tidbit on Meet the Cook. Our guest chef will be actor-comedian Richard Deacon. Now, hear the voice and you'll place the face.
Do you like chicken? I do. Try chicken Marengo in the microwave oven. You'll love it.
Now, that's the Deacon speaking, all right, about his chicken Marengo. Some microwave magic compliments Richard Deacon tomorrow on Meet the Cook. It's an interesting and it's a very different recipe. Make an instant super chef out of anybody. Meet the Cook tomorrow, right here on CBS.
What if you were swept up in disaster?
Help! Hey, Mr.
What if your kid were drowning?
Chest retraction.
What if your father were dying for blood? And what if nobody cared? Red Cross cares about a lot of things that cost a lot of money. But we think life is worth it, don't you? We're counting on you.
Red Cross is a good neighbor. Good neighbor is you.
Near Tower City, Pennsylvania, rescue workers continue to chip away at about 30 feet of solid coal to try to reach a miner who is alive after being trapped for 2 days. There's no word on the fate of the other 7 men inside the mine. A smaller hole has been bored out, and rescue workers are talking with and passing food and hot drinks to 37-year-old Ronald Adley. It may be another 24 hours before they get him out. Some relief from the long drought in the West and the Midwest, but it was a mixed blessing. It came in the form of heavy snow clogging highways in Oregon and Washington. In the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, up to 16 inches of snow fell, making things difficult for travelers and closing more than 500 schools. It has helped dry conditions in the Midwest, but it's not known how much of the snow will melt into the now frozen ground and how much will be lost in the spring runoff. An avalanche has killed a skier at the Snowbird Resort in Utah. Another skier, Jerry Burke, was on the slopes and saw what happened.
I was unfogging my goggles. I looked over to the right, and I saw this big white cloud coming down. It was silent, actually. And then, after the cloud went by, I saw boulders as big as my head screaming by and chunks of trees and stuff, and then I realized it was kind of big. So I sat there for a minute, let the air clear, and I hear this moaning coming from in the trees, and I ski over there, and here's this guy just plastered into this tree, half buried, and I spend about 10 minutes digging him out while I'm shouting for someone to get the ski patrol.
That victim survived with broken bones, but the body of another skier was uncovered a short time later. A new report by the MIT-Harvard Joint Center for Urban Studies says the rapidly rising cost of housing in the United States could get much worse. It says by 1980, just under 4 years from now, the average American home could rise to $78,000. More on the story from Sam Ford in New York.
The increases are blamed on a number of factors: rising interest rates, higher mortgage handling charges, and Professor Bernard Friedan, who helped write the report, blames environmental laws, which he says have made land prices soar.
We've now had water and sewer moratoria. We have development charges, sometimes amounting to as much as $5,000 or $6,000 per house. These are so-called hookup fees, but what they really are a tax on the new resident, passed along in the form of a higher sales price. We've had coastal zone regulation. We've had new controls to try to block the sale of farmland for development. We've had much more complicated regulatory processes. And all these processes are taking their toll.
The report also suggests housing shortages will develop in non-metropolitan areas in the 1980s as the population shifts away from cities and suburbs. One of the report's authors summed it up by saying, "Suburban sprawl was a word for the 60s, the movement to the Sun Belt for the 70s. Now, back to the country is the word for the 80s. Sam Ford, CBS News, New York.
If your child throws away the lunch you send to school each day, send Wonder Kids Eat It Up. If he fiddles with the middle, then throws the bread away, send Wonder Kids Eat It Up.
Kids know what bread they want to eat. Wonder. There are cheaper breads, but they're not always as fresh and soft the way kids like bread.
When you send a lunch to school, make this the daily rule, send Wonder Kids Eat It Up.
General, our orders have finally arrived.
Thank goodness we've been trapped here for 12 weeks.
The men are... Well, open it, sir.
I can't.
What?
It doesn't have an Easter seal on it.
So what, sir?
People should use Easter seals. It shows you care about people.
What about us people, sir?
We'll be all right, soldier.
Sir, we're out of ammunition and food.
That's all right. We'll use our bare hands and eat our boots.
Can I steam it open?
Bite your lip, soldier.
I'm sorry. I don't know what came...
People notice when you use Easter seals. It says you're helping the Easter Seal Society help the handicapped.
Congress has given its approval to amend the budget ceiling, allowing up to $17.5 billion for President Carter's program to create jobs and give tax rebates. Both houses will now start work on the actual proposals. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Bickley on News Radio 78 in Chicago.